You're listening to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where PGA and LPGA legends, pros and top instructors come to share their stories, insights and tips. Now, back to you, Chris.
All right, now back with me here on the French Lick Resort guest line is former PGA Tour pro Richard Zokel. And let me remind you about Richard's background. He's from Kitimat, British Columbia, which is on the west coast in the central part of the province. Played his college golf at Brigham Young from 1977 to 1981, where he helped them to a first or a second place finish in the Western Athletic Conference all 4 years he was there. They finished second in the national championship in 1980, come back the next year in 81, and he captained them to the national championship along with his teammates Rick Fair, Keith Clearwater, David DeSantis, and Bobby Clampett. And Bobby and Richard were roommates for 3 years there at BYU. In 2009, that 81 golf team was inducted into the Brigham Young Athletics Hall of Fame. That year, Richard won the 81 Canadian Amateur Championship by one stroke over Blaine McAllister in a sudden-death playoff and then turned pro. The year before, in 80, Richard won the International Champions Tournament over in Morocco. Among his other wins were the 1982 British Columbia Open and the 1984 Utah State Open. On the PGA Tour, he won twice in 1992 at the Deposit Guarantee Classic and the Greater Milwaukee Open. 2001, he won on the Web.com Tour at the Canadian PGA Championship. And in 2011, he was inducted into the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame. He is now the founder of MindLink Golf, which you can find online at mindlinkgolf.com. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I'm very excited to have Richard back with me again tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Richard, thanks for joining me again tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris. Much appreciated.
So, Richard, I want to start our time tonight by getting your thoughts on what we just saw at the PGA Championship. What did you think about what we witnessed, particularly on Sunday?
Wow, it was a remarkable event. First of all, that we all know that the whole golf world got excited to see and what they were expecting out of Tiger. You know, when he came, we watched him in the final round of the Open Championship. He got a taste of the lead on the back nine on Sunday. That was electrifying. And then as he's making his ascent back, he's trying and attempting and being successful in eliminating his mistakes and making great progress. So when he was in the hunt, particularly on the back nine, and then we watched Brooks Koepka, you know, really take a page out of Tiger Woods in his prime. It was an outstanding performance by Tiger. It was an outstanding performance by Brooks Koepka. I think that, you know, like we got to give our dues to Brooks Koepka. He is literally a product of Tiger Woods. He's, you know, from a physical point of view and a mental point of view, Chris, you know, he's conditioned physically his body to be something that appears like Superman. But what really is the difference in Brooks Koepka is his mental conditioning. We witnessed on Sunday something that is just so stoic. And it's the same type of conditioning he got his body into that he has had a very specific protocol, one that I want to talk about MindLink as well, that's conditioned him into be such a mentally strong competitor as well.
And Richard, to that point, and this is something we've talked a lot about tonight on the show, is his mental approach. He just seems unflappable, like nothing bothers him, nothing phases him that's going on out there, and he's certainly not overcome by the moment. So, you know, what do you think, how do you do that? How do you become so mentally strong that nothing like that gets to you?
Well, Chris, the first thing you have to do is understand that you have to have a very specific protocol. It's kind of like you can't just go to the gym and automatically morph into a physical fitness. You have to have a physical protocol. Well, it's the exact same thing with your mind. And obviously, no one has a perfectly conditioned mind for golf. And Brooks has, whatever he's done, I'm not privy to what he has done, but there's no doubt that he has followed some form of protocol that now he's conditioned to love that moment. He looks like he's having fun. He talks about how his focus is even better in majors than it is PGA Tour events. And, you know, he looks calm out there, and he's not, you know, he doesn't have this intensity where he's wasting any emotional fuel, and he's a big, strong guy. So he's a complete package. But the mental aspect of the game is the next frontier of improvement. And we're watching a fellow in Brooks Koepka who had control of his, and has a, you know, the best ability both physically and mentally.
And to what you mentioned a moment ago, and I heard Brooks Koepka, you know, talk about this, about how his focus at the majors is just way beyond what it is in a regular tour event. I mean, he's got 4 wins, 3 of which are majors, which is a heck of a ratio, right? Typically, we're used to seeing it way on the other side, right? You've got, you know, 5, 10, 20 wins, 1 or 2 majors. He's got 3 majors and 4 wins. So when you look at that, right, how is it something that you think that he'll be able to translate into, you know, winning the, you know, the odd tour event here or there, get himself 2 or 3 wins in a PGA Tour season, sprinkle in another major or two? Or do you think he's just designed that it's a letdown? It's it's just a this or that open. No big deal. You know, come talk to me, come Masters, U.S. Open, Open Championship, PGA time, and then you'll see me.
Oh, I think he's going to win a bunch of PGA Tour events. I think he's just starting his ascent, and I think he's going to have a bunch of championships. And part of the indicators that I see in him that make him so good from a mental point of view, like you was asked the question, you probably heard it as well, Chris, that, you know, in the post round, he said, you know, he knew that the people were pulling for Tiger in the final round, and someone asked him, says, do you care what people think about you? And his answer was beautiful. He just said, he says, I don't care what other people think about me. So that is another example of detaching emotionally from the result. The problem with most golfers, and I think everyone, all your listeners can relate to it, is that when you think that other people care about your game, and now it becomes a problem. If you don't hit a good shot, they may think less of you. That's part of the problem. And you know, if you want to overcome that, you have to create a system that trains you to emotionally detach from results. And then you become a cold-blooded assassin. And that's exactly what Brooks Koepka did in the toughest situation. He's, you know, the final 9 on a major championship, and he's staring down Tiger Woods when the whole world was rooting for Tiger Woods. So, you know, more power to Brooks Koepka.
Richard, I want to switch gears a little bit. And you shared a white paper that you wrote with me about the advances in technology that, you know, that the game is going through. And at the forefront of that is the length the guys are hitting the golf ball now, right? Tiger Woods even mentioned it after his round on Sunday that, you know, with guys like Brooks and DJ and Rory, you know, flying the ball 340 yards, it's hard to compete unless you can do the same. So talk about what your white paper is about and what your thoughts are with respect to technology and where the game is right now.
Well, yeah, and the USGA and the RNA are I guess they're coming to an end of collecting a lot of information from people around the world who have are concerns about the game and the part of the game where technology has perhaps gone a little too far. And the question is do they roll the equipment, the ball back? And keep in mind, it's not just the golf ball, you know, Chris. It's, you know, the golf ball is one aspect of it, but when you have these large drivers that have such a large moment of inertia, that's, you know, the sweet spot and the trampoline effect, it's causing the ball in the hands of the better players for the ball to not spin and go tremendous distances. So now, as all those players that you talked about, even Tiger, he's in that group as well, that consistently hit the ball, you know, above 300 yards. And the ball goes a lot straighter than it used to as well. So, you know, they're turning a lot of golf courses into very short golf courses. I think we all know that Dustin Johnson went through the whole year on the PGA Tour with hitting only 1 6-iron into a par 4. And every other par 4 that he played was less than that. So there are some concerns because it is drastically changing the game. And we got to find a way to make sure that the technology helps the average golfer rather than the advanced golfer, and perhaps put some governors at the professional level.
And Richard, you talk about how there should be a balance between distance and accuracy, and the spirit of the game being compromised when accuracy is less important than distance. So we heard Brooks Koepka talk about this as well, because he said, you know, it doesn't matter to him if he drives the ball in the fairway or not, because he's going to hit a 350 in the air, and he's going to have a 9-iron or a pitching wedge into the green no matter where he's at. And he can spin a 9-iron or a pitching wedge out of the rough just like he can out of, you know, in the middle of the fairway. So now, all of a sudden, you've got a completely different game and a completely different mindset. Talk about the impact that that has.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that right there, it says it in a nutshell. I think Brandel Chambly on the Golf Channel talks about it to great length as well. And I was just back at the Canadian Open a couple of weeks ago, and I'm talking to, you know, some PGA Tour officials and some Golf Canada people and talking about the fact that how the PGA Tour officials agronomy side has for about a decade now or so has decided to cut down the rough, the length of the rough. They want, their concerns are speed of play. They want it to improve, but, you know, that's another subject. But also, they want low scores. So if we were able to create golf courses with penal rough, so when the long hitters or any hitter didn't have the proper balance of accuracy, the risk reward of pulling out driver and the art of driving the ball in the fairway should be rewarded. But what shouldn't be rewarded in my way of thinking is the bombers that just smash it everywhere. And it doesn't matter where you are in the rough that you're able to access particularly soft greens like we saw this past week at the PGA Championship. So, you know, if the rough was penal, And guys like Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson weren't able to get to attack pins from the rough when their drives missed the fairway, then that would be a proper balanced setup, and you wouldn't see, you know, such low scores on what used to be difficult golf courses.
So, Richard, are you an advocate of rolling back across the board, rolling back the size of the head of the driver, like you mentioned a moment ago, rolling back how far the ball can go? Or are you looking for that across the board? Are you looking for bifurcation? Talk about what's the solution.
I think the solution is bifurcation. I was never a fan of bifurcation. I thought golf was such a great game. That amateurs and everyone played the same game, but it's just changed dramatically in the past 18 years, ever since 2000, that you want the advances to go to the average person, the people that pay for the Callaways or the TaylorMades or Titleist golf clubs, because the technology is great. We all know golf is a difficult game. But I would like to see the golf ball and create a bifurcation for the PGA Tour level. So if you're playing Web.com Tour or the PGA Tour, follow the same path that Major League Baseball did. They didn't get pulled down the rabbit hole to use metal bats. Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine. You know, there'd be deaths of shortstops, third basemen, and pitchers if they allowed metal bats. And what I would do, Chris, is I'd really affect the ball that it had to spin a lot more than it does. So that mishit shots, you know, they spin and they'll slice or hook. This golf ball just doesn't spin. Then I would reduce the size, the maximum size for, again, the PGA Tour levels from a 460cc and bring it down to, oh gosh, I'd bring it down to, you know, 320. And then I would, we would make sure that the face doesn't have the coefficient of restitution, which is the spring-like effect on the face. Because I think, and we're not even talking about how the shaft has made a difference with power, the lighter shafts. But if you pull back increase the spin on the golf ball, bring back reduce the size of the head of the golf the driver and the woods, then it would reduce the sweet spot and then also reduce the spring-like effect on the face and pull it back 10%. I think Nicholas talked about pulling back 20%. I think that's a little too much. But I think now then we won't have a distortion from those who are the power players. I think it's a poor game if it just becomes a bomber's contest. The guys that learn to play and learn to play artfully and smart should be in the game as well.
Richard, a couple more before we let you go. And you founded a company called MindLink Golf. We've made mention of it a couple of times. But talk about what MindLink Golf is.
Okay, well, MindLink is a mental game improvement app. And the protocol conditions golfers, as I mentioned, to detach emotionally from results when you follow it. We focus on collecting key performance data of every shot, Chris. And you enter the data after every shot. The software is being built overseas right now, and we're going to have our product delivered to us in December. So basically what you do, you focus your attention on, there's two key performance markers of every shot. And you're as good, and I'm as good, or every golfer is only as good as their ability to assess that shot. That is like picking the club and assessing the situation, wind, distance, and all that stuff. And then your ability to execute the shot. So we collect that data, and then after every round, you get three reports. And these reports provide a shot lost and shot gained information that are associated with each and every key performance marker. So basically, that's what we do. And what it does, it inherently pulls the golfer into the present moment. And most importantly, and I call this function of golf insanity that we all do as golfers. We think about results. We think about our swing technique when we need to be learning how to focus on the shot at hand, no matter what the situation. It doesn't matter if you're Tiger Woods trying to make it on the 18th hole or if you're Joe Blow at your country club trying to break 90. When you put your attention on the one shot at a time and your key performance markers of that shot, then you learn to detach emotionally from the results. And it gives you a freedom of being able to optimize your ability.
So, Richard, that begs the question. When do you think it's going to be available and when we can start checking it out?
Well, I'm going to have it. And we're going to be testing it, what's called a functioning minimum viable product, in December. I'm going to be taking it to the PGA of America at that point. And then next summer, then we anticipate it being an app and available at the app store. And it'll probably be a $8, $9, and 99¢ a month product. You'll be able to have golf lessons on, pick up videos, and you can use, we have our podcast, and right now I have about 30 podcasts. If you go to mindlinkgolf.com and in the page where it says Rub of the Mind, there is a number of podcasts. I put one up this morning about Brooks Koepka last week. And I'm going to be putting out another one on Thursday about this week at the Wyndham Championship and all those, the pressure on all those guys trying to make the 125. That's always a fascinating discussion. And what the app will also do is it'll automatically keep your handicap, Chris. So there won't be any way, because you're entering your score after every hole, and we're going to be able to capture all the ratings and the tees that every person plays when they use the MindLink app. They'll be able to get their handicap done automatically, all in one app.
Sounds fantastic, Richard. Let our listeners know, you mentioned the website, but how can they stay up to date with what's going on? How can they stay up to date with what you're doing, whether that's online or it's over social media?
Well, my Twitter name is at Richard Zokel, and you can follow me on Twitter. I put out these Rub of the Mind podcasts whenever useful situations happen on the PGA Tour, and I'd like to talk about why people are able to succeed in moments where other people succumb to the pressure, and I think we all can learn from that, and that's what MindLink is all about.
Well, Richard, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. I'd like to continue to have you come back because I think a lot of the things that you share are very insightful, and I think it can help a lot of us play better golf, particularly when we talk about our mental approach. I think the things that you bring up are spot on. Hopefully you'll come back and join me again soon.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's much appreciated. Thank you for thinking of me, and anytime you want to invite me on your show, I'd be happy to do so.
I appreciate that, Richard, very much. Take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. Look forward to having you back soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Richard. That's Richard Zokel. Again, mindlinkgolf.com, and the app sounds fantastic. And capturing all that information, capturing, you know, our ability to, you know, capitalize and be a part of the moment, stay focused, and do all the things on the mental approach that he talked about is the thing that I find so rich. And hopefully we get to continue to have those conversations, share how the product's coming, and then be a part of it when it gets launched next year.